Good morning. You take your Bibles and go to 2 Corinthians if you like. The gray of winter. That's what I thought about, Nooch, when you're talking about winter. You know, you get to be inside, it's dismal and dark and gray. And just a few days of sunlight and the warmth, how it blesses your life. And things are starting to come back to life again, this sort of thing. You know, the Bible teaches that you should rise up before the whorehair, is what it's called in the Old Testament. You know what that means? It means you stand in the presence of an older man. That's what it means. You show respect. And we need to learn how to respect not only all people, but older people. They have lived a few years. They have earned and they deserve your respect. Because today's culture doesn't teach that anymore. Today's culture and what they're teaching these kids today is mostly from the pit of hell. We need to be men and women of God. We need to be men and women of the Bible. We need to adhere to the truths of God's word. We need to be able to be rooted and grounded in the truth and be proud of that and be assured of the truth and be able to say once again with all the authority of the prophets of old, thus saith the Lord. The world today will steal the word of God from your life. It said in the last days that men will be lovers of pleasures, lovers of all kinds of things. It'll be about selfishness. It'll be about greed. It'll be about social churches, affirmed churches. That's what they're calling them nowadays. And this morning, I'm going to begin a series with you, and it's entitled The Spirit of Tolerance. Not so very long ago, tolerance meant putting up with someone else or something else not especially liked. You didn't particularly care for it, but you put up with it. You were nice. You were courteous. You were pleasant. However, today, the word tolerance has been redefined. You know, they redefined the word marriage. Marriage was exclusively a male and a female that would enter into a union, a holy union, ordained by God in the book of Genesis. But as times change, and as the country and the culture changes, words change meanings. The gay 90s is not at all what the gay 90s are today. It was a time of laughter and joy and this, that, and the other thing. The word gay today has a totally different meaning. The word marriage today has been expanded to include the union between a man and a man and a woman and a woman. That is not a marriage. That is evil. Redefined, restamped, tried to be sanitized and presented to people. And for the most part, people are accepting it. Little by little, they're accepting it. They're not stunned anymore. Their eyes aren't bugged anymore. Their mouths don't drop anymore. They're just been numbed up. Now, some take 3 or 4 shots of Novocaine, but they're getting numb. And in the church, they're getting numb and numb till they go dead, spiritually dead. And that's what the social churches are offering to people today. They're offering a place to show off their dresses, to talk about God, ever learning but never knowing the truth. They approach it, but they never get there. The word tolerance today has been redefined to mean all values, all beliefs, all lifestyles, all truth claims are equal. That's the word tolerance. That's what it means today. Let me repeat that. All values, all beliefs, all lifestyles, all truth claims are equal. And if you deny this, you are a person who you are deemed intolerant, and thus you are worthy of contempt. In the beginning of the United States, our system and our standards of morality were lifted in principle. But sometimes, almost verbatim, from the absolutes of the Bible, after the Civil War, the basis of our laws gradually switched from the absolutes of the Bible to something called human relativism. And relativism claims that there are no absolutes. As a matter of fact, if you look it up in a thesaurus, you can look up some synonyms of it, and then you can look it up by its antonym. And the antonym of relativism is absolutism. It's absolute. Relativism asserts that every system's values, indeed, everyone's values, are as good as the next. This philosophy began as mere advice to be tolerant, but it has become more popular. And its adherence urges people to be pragmatic. That is to adapt. It urges people to make compromises in their values. It urges people to do whatever is necessary, regardless whether it conflicts with your value or not, just to get along. It's tolerance. Concurrently, situation ethics systems arose so that even churches would look upon the Ten Commandments as mere suggestions, because you didn't want to have any absolutes that would offend anybody else's values. God was gradually erased from our public schools. Relativism has crept into every area of life so that it now dominates our moral, our ethical thinking systems in education, religion, child rearing, marital relationships, economics, agriculture, healthcare, social programs, and the like. Now, what happens when your child is indoctrinated with this devilish belief of tolerance? Because they present it as a good thing. But Satan himself has been presented as an angel of light and his ministers. Tolerance, by today's standards, is evil, and it is the name of a devil spirit. That spirit's assignment is to confuse and deceive the people of the world. And that spirit has clandestinely entered the professing Christian church. And the church, for the most part, neither understands nor believes that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. Thus, this spirit family, because spirits function in a gang, they function together in a family, has made great inroads into the gospel and is presently at work eroding God's holy word from the pulpit, so men and women no longer speak the truth. You're in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Paul said, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Ephesians chapter 2 teaches us that we all walked according to the course of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of what? So we have to renounce that when we get born again, when Christ comes in. And I want to tell you something. There's a lot of churches functioning today under the banner of Jesus Christ that people are not born again. They are not taught the gospel that pertains to eternal life. And if they are, they are never given the opportunity that this is for you and you need to make a decision. They go. It's a social gospel. It's a club. They talk. They have fun. They exchange pleasantries. But have they ever accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into their heart? You know, I had some time to watch Billy Graham. He's on Netflix, if you want to watch The Life of Billy Graham, this past week because Kim was away. And in the 1950s, at Times Square in New York, you couldn't move. You think that the dropping of the ball is something? It's nothing. Billy Graham did a 3-week revival in New York City, and they had pictures of it, and you looked out in those streets, and you could not move. And one of his messages he always taught was John 3:16. And throughout his preaching, during that 3-week-long period of time, he said, there are many of you that go to church. There are many of you that are good people. There are many of you that attend such and such. He said, but you have not received Christ into your heart and you're not saved. He said, I want to invite you today to receive Christ into your heart and be saved. Now imagine that. That's some 60 or so years ago, that people were attending churches, looking good, smelling good, talking pretty. But you want to know something? If you dress up a pig, it's still a pig. God is not concerned how you look on the outside. God is not concerned on how much fun you have and how much pleasantries you exchange first and foremost. God is concerned if you are born again of His Spirit. He wants you to know the truth because only the truth can make you free. Make you free. See? Once you're born again, I will tell you this, and Christ, you have the Christ experience, you understand that, you won't have to worry about the good works. You won't have to worry about the pleasantries. You won't have to worry about how you treat your fellow man, because you will be identified with Christ and you will act accordingly. It'll be axiomatic. It'll just flow from you. Good works flow from the new birth. Not the other way around. And a lot of people are getting involved in good works and don't understand Jesus Christ. And specifically in the church, this spirit of tolerance is pushing the church to erase salvation through one man. That's where it's pushing. And that's what's going to happen, whether you like it or not, because that's what the Bible teaches. You cannot afford to be tied up into that. The New American Standard reads of 2 Corinthians 4:2, but we have renounced the hidden things because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by manifestation of truth, so forth and so on. Adulterating the word of God. Other translations translate the Greek word that is translated adulterating in King James Version as not walking in craftiness or deceit. Not walking, falsifying is another translation. Tampering is another translation. Distorting, corrupting, corrupting. It's an interesting word to study. It's only used once in the New Testament, this particular word for adulterating. And it means to corrupt. And used in secular Greek, it meant to adulterate wine, to water it down. Or to adulterate gold, to pollute the mix. A little bit of clay, a little bit of gold, whatever. Just so you don't get the pure stuff. The Greek means to corrupt divine truth by mingling it with false notions. Listen to that again. To corrupt divine truth by mingling, by mixing, by blending it together with false notions. False notions. The new definition of tolerance makes the Christian claim to exclusiveness intolerant, which supposedly justifies much of the anti-Christianity garbage that's going on in the media and in our educational systems. Go to John chapter 14, please. Listen, you want the truth or you want to be babysat? You want to be entertained? Go watch a movie. Get yourself some popcorn. What I'm telling you this morning is the truth. And it's the difference between life and death for people that have not accepted Jesus Christ. That's how serious it is. As a matter of fact, let me say it to you this way. It's a difference between eternal life and eternal death for people that have not accepted Jesus Christ. If you're hearing this message and you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, I'm not talking about he's a nice guy and isn't that a wonderful thing. Have you made him Lord? Have you invited him in your heart? Have you said, you are my Lord? I believe that God has raised you from the dead and I want you to be my Lord. I'm giving my life to you. Have you done that? Or are you just a social Christian? Are you just wanting to be part of a social gospel? Something where we all dress up and we go out for a night and we put up with each other across from a table and smile and go home. That's not the way eternal life is given. Jesus Christ was not a tolerant person. He was a forbearing person. He was a long-suffering person. He was a patient person, but he was not a tolerant person. He did not tolerate sin. He did not tolerate the Pharisees. He did not tolerate the devil. As a matter of fact, Jesus Christ was an absolute person. He was so absolute that he was willing to stake his life that God would raise him from the dead when he went to the grave. That's how absolute he was, you see? And if you're going to be a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ, you can't be a tolerant person according to today's definition of tolerance. You will never be rooted and grounded in anything because as soon as it offends somebody else, you will back off. You will never be able to stand on the truth. You will never be able to present the truth because all truth is relevant. Everybody's truth is just as equal as everybody's else. Now, how in the world are you going to walk in a world like that? Confused, missed, mouse. Because that's what the devil wants. You see, because there's a time coming when there's a man coming who's going to be able to organize all the people of the world. And he's going to be a great negotiator. And he's going to be a great peacemaker. And he's going to be a great world leader to be able to bring together from A to Z all the people of the world under the spirit of Antichrist, by whom the precursor spirit is tolerance. They work in the same family. That's where it's going. And that's what the world's doing, and that's what the church is doing for the most part. Little by little, it's eroding away. Because we live in perilous times, in end times. Not the end times like some group of Christians got in a bus and went down to see some goofy thing that the moon was doing several months ago, because that's when Jesus was coming back. They left everything. They got in a bus, a bunch of them, and they met down there, wherever the hell they met, only to come back brokenhearted, discouraged, dejected the next day. You know why? Because Jesus didn't come back. You know why? Because nobody knows when he's coming back. But you know what the trick was? Oh, but we can study the end times and all this and all that. And they all just left and... You know what? Get your head out of your butt. Just stop. Stop. Don't be dumb. Bible says nobody knows. You know what that means? Nobody knows. I'm not telling you tomorrow so-and-so is going, I don't know when, but I'm telling you he's going to, and I can see that the world's headed that way. You start reading Timothy about men being lovers of men and pleasures and this and that, and the whole homosexual agenda and everything. You can just see it's moving that way. So if it's 1,000 years, so what? It's still moving that way. The church does not need to be deluded. The church needs to be told what's going on. The church does not need to get in bed with the world. The whole world is under the influence of the devil, and it lieth in what? Wickedness. If you're going to be a friend of the world, you're going to be an enemy of what? God. Now, I'm talking about the world that's hostile towards God. I'm not talking about flowers and fishing and all the wonderful things that the world has to offer. But I'm talking about this stupid, devilish doctrine that the devil has presented to first the world and now to the church. And he's pressuring the church. And for the most part, the church is giving in. Church is giving in. You see it. You see it. And sooner or later, the church will say that Jesus is not the only way to God. And do you know why they will say that? Because of the spirit of tolerance. And sooner or later, that spirit will convince the church and the leaders, quote unquote, of the church, that it's in its best interest to go this way. Preach love, preach fairness, preach equality, preach tenderness, preach patience, but don't preach that Jesus Christ is the only way to God. And if you got an ear to hear me, you better listen to me, because I will not be lax in the ministry that God has given me to teach you the truth. Because I'm telling you, that's what's going on. That's what's going on, because the devil is that evil. I'm not a tolerant person, can you notice? And I will die not being a tolerant person. I'm going to teach you about the intolerant God in this series. And you'll just see how good it is to be intolerant in a godly way. John 14, verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, oh my goodness, listen to this. I am the way. Period. I am the truth. Period. There were no commas in the original text. No punctuation in the original text. I am the life. Period. That's what he said. Some men, once in a while, every blue moon. Don't say that, does it? It says what? No. You know what no means? No. Doesn't mean this much. It means no. See, man, when he says no, means this much. Because man has no integrity anymore. Because man's been taught that if you have integrity, you're absolute. And you can't be absolute because you're going to hurt people. Jesus said no. No. That's what it says. No man cometh unto the Father but by what? Now, is that an intolerant statement or what? That's a statement of absolute, isn't it? Now, you got to make up your mind. Because I'd rather teach three people that believe the gospel than 55 people or 5,000 people that don't. You got to make up your mind. Do you believe that Jesus is the way, the only way? Do you believe that he gave you the truth, the only truth pertaining to gospel? And do you believe that he is the only life? And do you believe that no one else gets you to the Father but Jesus Christ? Do you believe that? Then you cannot be tolerant. You can't be. And you cannot ascribe to the doctrine of tolerance. And you cannot teach your children, oh, it's good to be tolerant. Have you ever said that to your child? Or have you ever heard someone say, it's good to be tolerant? That is class A BS. Right from the pit of hell. It's good to be evil, children. That's what you're telling them. It's good to accept the devil's catechism, children. That's what you're telling them. But because you don't have the brain of a tuna fish to know the word, that's why you say that kind of stuff. It's devilish. How can I be so right? Because God's word is so right. How can I be so absolute and convicted of what I'm sharing with you? Because God's word is so right and so absolute and convicted of what he shared with us. Jesus died on the truth. Jesus died on a promise. Jesus died on the absolute. You want Jesus to say to you, at the gathering together, well, I really didn't mean that. All gospels, all this, all that, they're all equal. All claims of truth are equal. You could have just did whatever. As a matter of fact, I'm changing my mind. What kind of God would we have? What kind of Savior would we have? One that the world wants to give you. That's the kind you would have. And they present him under the spirit of tolerance, under the banner of love. Because you got to get along with everybody. And I'm not saying you don't get along. What I'm saying is you don't change truth to get along. That's what I'm saying. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name given under heaven among men, whereby we must be what? Look, you got to get to the place where you understand that. There's none other name given under heaven. It's Jesus Christ. God chose it. If God would have want Muhammad in there, you know what he would have put? He has the word in his vocabulary. You know who I'd be teaching you? Muhammad. But he didn't. He didn't say Buddha. He didn't say all religions are equal, all truth values are equal, all opinions are equal. He didn't say that. He said they're not equal. Does this make everything equal? No. There's only one thing, Jesus Christ. Look at John chapter 17. You know, the Bible teaches there's two gods. The church doesn't believe that. The church doesn't believe that the devil is actively working against it. The church has just dismissed the devil. And you know what? The devil loves it. And anybody who raises the name of the devil or raises a name of a spirit, you know what the church teaches about that individual? Ah, he's always talking about devils. Oh, he's preoccupied with demons. Oh, he's devil this and devil that and devil that. They make fun of him. That's what the church does to people within the church. You see? Because you can expect that from outside of the church. Oh, they believe in praying for the sick. They believe in casting out spirits. Well, didn't Jesus? Did Jesus cast out spirits? Did Jesus pray for the sick? Did Jesus do these wonderful things? And did he say, you know, be followers of me, be my disciple? And in the same breath that comes out of that, they say, oh, don't do this and don't do that and we don't do the other thing. That's the stupidity of the church. Because the church, when you get down to it, there are very few in the church that actually believe the word of God and act accordingly. Very few that are willing to stake their life on the word of God. Because in order to do that, you know what you have to do? You got to swim upstream. You got to swim against the current. Because the current of the world and the course of the world is set by the God of this world. And he wants you to swim with it. So it's easy. And this is how spiritually devastating and dark and twisted it gets. It is. I'm not telling you that to scare you that. I'm telling you that so you can be an informed group of believers that can make a biblical decision in life when you need to. That's why I'm telling you that. Now, if you choose to do otherwise, then shame on you. But I will not stand before God and say, I didn't present the full gospel. John 17, verse 2, the New International reads, for you granted him authority over all people that he might give eternal life to all those that you have given him. Now, that's pretty intolerant. That's pretty arrogant. That's pretty conceited. And that's pretty boastful by the world's standards. To say that of all of these religions, of all of these great learning, of all of this knowledge, of all of these men of great mental acumen, that one guy, that just one guy, that just one way is the only way, and that you gave all power to him, all authority, all might, that he could give it to those that you call by him, and that no other way and no other person can get you into heaven or eternal life. Now, how does that sound to you? If that sounds funny to you, you got a problem, because that's what the gospel teaches. Now, can you see someone on TV standing up or standing in a corner and saying that? Because you know what will happen to them? Do you ever see those bars you go into that they got chicken wire up and the band plays behind the bars? That's what we would have to do. Only we wouldn't have to have chicken. We'd have to have chicken wire and bulletproof glass. because that would drive the world to mass hysteria. Why? You know why? Because the spirit of tolerance and the family in which it works with would send out its enforcers and rile the people up and say, we can't have this. And then you know what happens? You're found fighting against God. You're found silencing yourself and let silence the gospel for the sake of peace. What kind of peace is that? That's not peace. That's bondage. Surrender. That's bondage. That's exactly what it is. Verse 3. Now this is eternal life. I'm reading out of the New International again. How clear is that? How simple is that? How absolute is that? Now this is eternal life. That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's pretty simple. They may know you, the only what? God? No, I don't say that. True God. And Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's who God chose to send. Jesus Christ. You see what they did to him? You know why they did that to him? Because he was a very intolerant person. Because he wasn't full of tolerance. Because he didn't want to get along. He didn't want to make peace. He didn't want to be friends with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the other C's. He came to speak the truth. He came to make available to you eternal life. And you ought to thank God that he was a man, that he was able to do that, and he didn't give up on his mission. Despise and reject it. The hounds of hell and everything that Satan could muster, he put against him, and he stood for you, and he stood for me. And he didn't stand for you, and he didn't stand for me, so we could put elbows and rub elbows with all these tolerant people and be silenced not to mention his name, to be a bunch of cowards. He didn't do that. He bled. He got beat so that we could have eternal life. And because someone says you're intolerant, you're a bigot, you're this, you're that, you get upset? That upsets you? Give me a break. I've seen people argue at Walmart for 50 cents over a stupid item. And they dig their heels in and I'm not moving. And it upsets you that you don't want to stand for the defense of the gospel? Are you ashamed of the gospel? Are you embarrassed? What do you care for? I can guarantee you something. Those unbelieving, unborn again people, you're never going to see them again. They're not going to be at the hamburger stand in heaven saying, you want this? If they don't accept the Lord. They're not going to be sharing in eternity. Don't you understand that the devil is the father of lies? And he is lying to the world. He has been lying to the world since Genesis chapter 3. And he is lying to the world now with the spirit family of Antichrist to just wipe the name of Christ away, to delude, to corrupt, to mingle with falsehood the name of Christ and the gospel of Christ and the gospel that the only way to get to God is through Jesus Christ. And it's not far off. And it's not far off. And the church is being silenced. And it's getting to where it's even getting written into legal documents that if you do not subscribe to the doctrine of tolerance and diversity, we're going to make laws against you that we can arrest you, that we can financially cripple you, that we can put you out of business. Now, you know, if I would have said this 30 years ago, you'd have looked at me, oh, but now it's all past history, isn't it? You read about the guy that won't make the cake because he don't believe in homosexual weddings. And then you know what happens? 10,000 queers march on his business and put him out of business. Then they take him to court and they sue him for hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. Give me a break. Wake up. You read about the guy who won't sell flowers to a homosexual wedding. Then what happens? They march. They arrest him. They do this. Come on. It's happening. How do you think that stuff is happening? The spirit of tolerance. It has compromised people. It has made people afraid. It has made people cowards. It has taught people that if you don't shut up, I'm coming after you. That's what it's taught people. And it's spirit power. Words are just words. But when they have spirit power behind them, they get things done. John chapter 8. Do you want tolerance? You want to eat this crap that they're shoveling to you? The political liberal idiots? Because they are the main pushers, the progressives, and the political liberal idiots are the main pushers of tolerance. And they took notice that he was an unlearned man, but he had been with Jesus. Good, I hope that's what they say about me. That's why I specifically chose some of the words I chose this morning, because they're street words, and they communicate. John 8, verse 51, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. That's how important it is. That's how important it is. If tolerance means that all values, all beliefs, all lifestyles, and all truth claims are equal, how is that going to fit with John 8:51? Saying you got to come to me if you don't want to see death. Now that puts it at the other end. That doesn't put it somewhere in the middle. You cannot solely witness for the true gospel of Jesus Christ if you subscribe to the doctrine of tolerance. Because Jesus said in John 10, verse 7, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep, period. And this is what else he said. And I'm going to add a word. But I think God is going to give me the privilege to add a word this morning for teaching's sake. All that ever came before me, and I add, and after, are thieves and robbers, and the sheep don't hear them. Anybody who comes with a different gospel, all of those people that came before and said something other than what God said and what the Lord Jesus Christ said, and anybody that comes afterwards, they're thieves and they're robbers. Does anyone here have a problem believing that our government is a thief? If you do, April 15th is coming quickly. That will wake you back into sobriety. I am the door. This is an absolute gospel. This isn't Joe, Bill, Bob, and Peabody down the street. He didn't say that. He said, I am the door. See that door there? Yeah, that one there. You know what's there? It's a pantry. Food. You want to get in there? You know how you got to get in there? Through the door. Now, you use that door, you're not going into the pantry. You use that door, you're not going into the pantry. You use the one down the hall, you're going plumb into the toilet. You want to go into the pantry? You know what door you got to use?
The pantry door.
That one. You know how many pantry doors there are in this house? Here? One. Now, you can argue that all you want. And you can tell people, oh, that door's just as good. And that door's just as good. You want to be eaten out of the toilet or the pantry. You make up your mind where you want to eat. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Period. That's it. That's exclusive. That's individual. That's intolerant. But that's the truth. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more what? And there it is. And a church doesn't believe that. And all these churches that are called affirmed churches and tolerant churches don't believe that anymore. Slowly, little by little, the gospel is being eroded away from them. You know, I built a set of garages on Lafayette Street some 30 years back. And I had this opportunity to have to replace the roof. And one of the things with the Lafayette Street garage is that they have a downspout that comes down. And you got an elbow on the bottom of that downspout, a 45, that kicks the water out into the alley. Well, over a period of time, that elbow got broken off, thrown off, worn off. I don't know. But the downspout just came down. And you know what happened over 30 years? Macadam was under there. Blacktop. Then you got the footer where the concrete is poured, the floor. A foot and a half down was nothing but mud. It ate a section about 2 feet around, a foot and a half down, and you could actually look and see not only the concrete, but the stone under the concrete footer. It eroded it away. And that didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen overnight. You know how it happened? Drop, 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 drop. And if I did not go back in and fix that, you know what's going to happen? That foundation's going to crack and that end of the building's going to tilt down. And that end of the building only has about 12 inches before it has a big 9-foot opening for a door with just a lintel on top. And it's going to do more damage. See? That's what the devil is doing to the church with the doctrine of tolerance. Little by little by little. To where, like I said, you don't go bug eye. You don't go what anymore. You just go like this. Then after a while, you just... Remember the story I told you about when I was drinking on a Thursday night? And I started drinking, and I drank, and I drank, and I kept going to the bar, and they would say Jesus' name and God's name. And then after a while, you know, then before a couple months into the bar, they said Jesus' name and God's name, and I didn't even hear it anymore. It just numbed me out. You know why? Because I mingled myself with that garbage. You know, the Bible says a little leaven leavened the whole lump for a reason, okay? You can't put a drop of food coloring in a glass of water and expect a glass of pure crystal water to overpower the food coloring. It doesn't happen. And isn't it amazing that just one drop can destroy something? Well, what's that like inside the church? You see? And I'm not telling you that because you got to be afraid or you got to... No, I'm telling you that because you got to be smart. You have to know the way the devil works, and you have to be able to be one step, two steps, three steps ahead of him. The only way you're going to do that is through Jesus Christ. And there you have it. Like I told you before, and like was taught me, the devil is always trying to get rid of the word. He's always trying to get rid of the word. He's after the word. And once he gets into your mind, it's only a matter of time that you will begin to practice and defend evil under the banner of love. You'll say, oh, it's loving to be this, and it's loving to be that, and he's my brother in Christ, and he's my brother in this, and he's my sister in Christ. You ought to tell Paul that when he confronted some of the brothers in Christ. Or you ought to tell John that when he confronted some of the brothers in Christ who wanted to have the preeminence. Or you ought to tell John that when he said they were of us, they went out from us, but they were not of us. And the next verse says, because it was the spirit of Antichrist. And you know, I know what I was taught about that verse. But I don't believe that what I was taught about that verse is what it means. What I believe it meant was that believers subscribed to the doctrine, to the devil spirit of tolerance. And they watered down the word. And they went from the church. True believers went from the church. They were compromised. And they began to say other things that were contrary to Christ. That's what I believe that verse means today. You can believe what you want. If you teach your children to be tolerant, you're teaching your children the devil's doctrine. And that's downright evil. The hypocrisy of the new tolerance was shown lately in two universities. One at Texas Tech University in Lubbock. A professor named Michael Dini, D-I-N-I. He was a professor of biology. And he came out and he said that he would not recommend any student for a medical school if they did not believe in evolution. Now you put yourself in that guy's position and you want to be a doctor. You want to talk about compromise? You want to talk about silence? You want to talk about control? You got it. And by the way, the family that they all belong to is witchcraft. Diddy's university rushed to defend him on the grounds of academic freedom. Now contrast that with what happened with Sydney's university in Australia, when a number of top academics signed the following statement in a full-page newspaper advertisement. They said, on any criteria, Jesus Christ is one of the greatest figures in history. And more than that, his claim to be the Son of God, who has made God known and taken away the sins of the world, bear up under closest scrutiny. This is our conviction, and we urge every student to thoroughly investigate this unique figure, Jesus. That's what they said. This invoked hysteria about religious intolerance and the misuse of academic freedom. And some anti-Christian groups raised abnormal, paranormal fears. They were just ghosts and all these kind of weird things. And they were screaming discrimination. Yet the above statement said nothing of the kind. Unlike Denny's statement over intolerance and discrimination against biblical Christians, which was happily tolerated. Now, Josh McDowell is a man who's done a lot of work with the tolerance field and understands it from an educational point of view and somewhat a spiritual point of view. He said that this argument is glaringly illogical and self-refuting. That is, if these tolerant advocates reject Christianity, then they are not treating Christianity as an equal belief. So in practice, to paraphrase George Orwell in Animal Farm, all beliefs are equal, but some beliefs are more equal than others. The result is extreme intolerance towards Christians from people who talk so much about tolerating all views. In short, they are intolerant of intolerance. So logically, they should be intolerant of themselves. That's what McDowell says. Pretty smart, hey, Apple. Matthew 22:21 simply says this. I'm just going to quote you, B of the verse. Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are what? And that's where the world doesn't get it. You don't cross over. You want to set the speed limit at 55? God don't give a hoot. But don't start playing around with spiritual realities. That's where he gets upset. And that's where man is disrespectful. He has no respect towards God. As a matter of fact, man is downright hostile towards God and taught to be so. There's a great danger lurking in the general philosophy of tolerance. Again, in Australia, a group formed and they called themselves Toleration. Sounds like a band. Which many Christians in the beginning viewed as a harmless organization with a worthy cause. Toleration's goal was to promote tolerance of all religious ways, beliefs, and doctrines. Their major theme was, we got to stop being intolerant of other people's beliefs, which I believe in, and the Bible teaches. They have a right. A man has a right to go to hell. I might think he's stupid, someone taught me, but he's got a right to go to hell. Everyone should have a right to his or her own opinion on any matter. I don't have a problem with that. Either did they. And so they wanted to form this group to try and get things straight. Eventually, the organization issued a promotional leaflet espousing this tolerance of all beliefs. And what did they say on the very first page contained in the leaflet? They put a detailed list of the things that they were against. They said they were tolerant for all beliefs, yet they were intolerant of the teaching of creation, and they were intolerant of the absolutes of Christianity. God is a God of absolute. God is a God of order, integrity, and truth. To subscribe to the lie of tolerance, that all values, all beliefs, all lifestyles, all claims to truth are equal, is completely and utterly moronic. Bugs Bunny, I quote. Would you eat that crap if they shoveled it onto your plate at the hospital? All beliefs, all lifestyles, all truth claims are equal. Would you want a doctor who's operating on you to subscribe to that? You might never get operated on for fear that he'd offend somebody who teaches a different way. You die because they'd never be able to arrive at a decision. There is no tolerance in the law of gravity. The law of gravity is very intolerant of people who jump off the 22nd floor. You know why? Because unlike the law of tolerance that man in his infinite wisdom and knowledge conjures up and purports that all values, beliefs, lifestyles, truth claims are equal, the law of gravity is absolute. And that law states that if you jump off the 22nd floor of a high rise, you're going to die. There is order and safety in the absolute. Water boils at 100 centigrade or 212 Fahrenheit when it's at atmospheric pressure of sea level. Always, always. Graham's law of diffusion and effusion states that a gas rate of diffusion or effusion is proportional to its molar mass. Don't ask me what it means. I'm just telling you what the law says. Diffusion is a process of slowly mixing two gases together. Effusion is a process that occurs when the gas is permitted to escape its container through a small opening, like an exhaust valve. Graham's law states that the rate at which the gas will effuse or diffuse is inversely proportional to the square root of its molar mass of the gas. This means that light gases effuse or diffuse quickly, and that heavier gases effuse or diffuse slowly. Like water that boils at 212 degrees Fahrenheit at sea level, this law is constant, reliable, and absolute. And because these laws are constant, reliable, and absolute, listen to me, they give us a source from which to work when an anomaly would occur. For instance, we know that water is contaminated if it doesn't boil at 212 degrees because at sea level. Or we know that we're not at sea level anymore if it doesn't boil at 212 degrees because we have a baseline that we can work from of truth. Likewise, Graham's law of diffusion and effusion is constant, reliable, and absolute. However, if an anomaly occurs, the rate proportion will differ. The gas laws are written for ideal gases, which are at low temperatures and pressures. And as you increase temperature or pressure, you can expect the predicted behavior to deviate from the experimental measures. In other words, it's going to change. But the reason why you know it's going to change is because you have that foundational base law truth. And you see it fluctuating, you see it varying, and you're saying something's going on here. Something's amiss. I like to say there's a rat in the woodpile. Likewise, God's word is pure and perfect and absolute. The Holy Scriptures provide us with a sure footing among the mountains of speculations of man's opinion, a safe anchor in the raging seas of the senses' doctrine and the intellectual musings of men's minds that are destitute of the truth. The absolute, total, exclusive, sole standard for truth, God's word. Peter says that he has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Thus, when an anomaly occurs within the church, within the scriptures, within the logic of God's word, we need to go back to the truth. We need to go back to the truth and study the truth, not the source and not the anomaly. Because if you study that, that was produced by man. And that will take you down a road of error. You need to come back to the word. That's why you need to have absolutes in your life. Do you understand? You put a bullet in a gun, you aim the gun at your enemy. You need to be absolutely sure that that trigger, that firing hammer is going to hit and it's going to do what it's supposed to do. Not, oh, I think it might work. Or let's try this. Let's see if it works this way. But that's what these people are trying to shove down America's throat. And for the most part, America is so stupid, they don't even question it anymore. It sounds good. They use good words like marriage, and then they affix evil definitions to it. They use good words like gay, and they affix evil definitions to it. You know why? Because these words already mean something. These old words are already rooted. These words already have a worldview established in a person. So they just grab onto it. Well, let's call it this, and all these people will just go along. The wonderful truth is this. As Christians, we can base our life on something more sizable than just mere personal opinions. We have foundational knowledge and truth from an infinite being, our Creator, our wonderful Father God, to guide us. The record of this basic knowledge begins in the most foundational of all books, the book of Genesis. Our God has not left us to our own so we can find our own way. He has provided direction and specific principles by which we are to live. What He says must be the basis for all of our thinking and behavior. Our conclusions must be based solely on the foundation of God's Word, not on fallible human opinion. Forbearance, long-suffering, patience, meekness, gentleness, and God's love, yes. Tolerance is evil and a devil spirit that belongs to the spirit family of Antichrist. Its purpose is to intimidate, confuse, and compromise the Word and the church to oppose the teaching of Christ under the banner of love and tolerance. This spirit of tolerance and error is the precursor from the spirit of Antichrist that will fully manifest itself in the last days. Daniel 12:4 reads like this. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even unto the time of the end. Daniel is talking about the time of the end, future. And many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And boy, don't you have that today with the internet. Everybody's running here and everybody's running there, and knowledge is growing at such a ridiculous pace, it's just unthinkable. And anybody who has a computer knows that, because your computer is just about out of date by the time you get it home. See? I'm not telling you I know this and I know that, but I know what the Word says, and I know that the day's coming, and I'm not stupid, but I'm not stupid enough to have you all gather together and meet me tomorrow night at 6 o'clock because the Lord's coming back either. Okay? But just because I don't say that doesn't mean you can't be smart and live your life spudazo. Exert an effort with the time constraints that you have to live. 1 John 5:19 says, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Verse 20, we close, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. Not everybody's that is true, but we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ, the nerve of this intolerant God. This is the true God and eternal life. Now that takes some brass something or other for God to say. Thank God He got brass. We love people, but if you really love people, you know what the answer to tolerance is? It's very simply the love of God. You don't love people with the doctrine of tolerance. As a matter of fact, you're closer to hating people with the doctrine of tolerance than you are love. Because if they say you can get to heaven by any person, and you want to manifest a doctrine of tolerance, you have just sealed that person's fate to eternal death. But if you love people, you say, listen, Jesus is the only way. You'll give that person the love of God. You'll be unpopular. You'll be uncomfortable. But if you really love that person, would you like to see that person walking down Glory Road with you and them saying to you, like someone said to me Thursday night, I am so sorry that I was angry at you and you were 100% right. To which I replied, I was 110% right. Then they said, I'm so glad that you were. Would you rather see that person walking, smiling, and running up and give you a hug at Glory Road? Or would you rather see that person going figuratively into the depths of the pit because you wanted to be tolerant, because you were loving, Now you tell me which one's more loving. And I know it's a hard message to hear, and I had to speak it in such a way that you did hear it. And that's not my intent, but it was God's intent that you heard what you heard. And now it's your responsibility to act accordingly. And you all know someone who's been affected by this crap. Don't wait for me to speak it. You got a place in the church. You speak up too. Amen?